Class war.
Now, Jim, show this gentleman how you can dance and sing.
That's my attitude towards the Western powers. If you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your mummy when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When a system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is your brother Vladimir Deese. Welcome to another episode of the Class War Battlefield Podcast. And coming to you from some craziness. I apologize if you hear some noises. But I live in an apartment complex, and you know, walls are thin, ceilings are thin, so sometimes you hear noises, but I do apologize. Let's get started, you know. Just a point that needs to be made. New Class War Battlefield Podcast after the new year. Reformatted. Probably in February is when I'm going to launch it, so don't be surprised if you get a few more of these ramblers, as I like to call them. Although people seem to like them, which is pretty interesting. I didn't actually believe that people would like a show where basically all I'm doing is just talking, but people seem to respond well to it and appreciate it. So you know, there it is. Why white lives matter to me? I've made many mentions before. And let me back up a little bit. The reason why I ask this question is simply this. I've talked a lot about race and racism and other things having to do with racism over the past year and a half, 2 years. And I've neglected kind of a part of me that wanted to do this topic. Because I feel like this topic is important. White lives do matter. And whereas a lot of conservatives are using the rallying call of White Lives Matter for something very, very negative, there's a lot of positivity that goes with it too. I kind of wish they wouldn't use White Lives Matter. I wish they would use like European American Lives Matter, because even though we're called black, we're still known as African Americans. So European American lives matter. But I think it gives people like me who love my people, who want my people to do well, an opportunity to really discuss what that means. What does white lives matter actually mean? What makes life meaningful for white people? That's a hell of a question. What does it mean? I asked this question because I came across a unpublished speech that I was working on a couple of years back. I think 2015 was when it was the date on it. I had kind of forgotten about it. It was called The Meaning of Black Lives Matter. And it posed the question, which I just posed for white people. What makes black life meaningful? What makes black life matter? Now, many conservatives already jumped on that question. They wanted to answer it simply by saying that, well, if black people would stop killing each other in the ghettos in the hood, then black life would matter. If black mothers would stop aborting them, then black lives would matter. But it ain't that simple. And the only time most conservatives want to talk to black people is when they're chastising us, which is why, if you a black conservative, you ain't getting no respect from me. Clean the house that you're in before you come to me and tell me to clean my own. You heard me? For white folks, I have actually been touching on the answer to this question since I started this podcast. It almost goes without saying. When most people heard this podcast, most of you didn't care that I was black. Or if you did, it didn't influence the fact that you knew that I was talking about issues that concerned you and that you should feel more important. It was only when I crossed over into race that most of you probably thought, oh, well, he's talking really about black and white issues now. In fact, that should give you pause. Because if you were white and you were listening to this podcast and you heard me talking about the issues that I was talking about from the very beginning of this podcast, and it never dawned on you that I was black or that I might be talking about black people, what does that say then? That you only started thinking about race when I started talking about racism. Moreover, what does it say for the fact that most of you would use my ideas more deliberately with white folks than you would in helping in assessing black people? I'm not saying this to bring up white guilt. I'm not saying this to trigger you. What I'm saying is, simply put, the issues which I presented, which are colored often as white only, are not. They're universal. But the problem is, the majority of the people who hear them and receive them only apply them to white circumstances. So when we start talking about black people, we don't talk about the class-based structure, which is obviously affecting them in a negative way. We don't talk about the caste-based structure, which is obviously impacting them in a negative way. We don't do that. And yet, when I talk about economics and finances and the labor struggle and class war, these are all considered white-only problems. When I talk about international relationships, unless I'm specifically talking about black people, these are considered white problems. And yet, all of them have a bearings on the quality of life which black people experience. Think about that. White life matters at the most fundamental level when black lives matter. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent on that because, honest to God, this is not about that. It's not about Black Lives Matter. But this is a point that needs to be emphasized because we have forgotten that. Some very intelligent person who wanted to throw acid onto the burgeoning movement of Black Lives Matter came up with the idea of All Lives Matter and then said that you cannot believe that Black Lives Matter without believing in White Lives Matter because All Lives Matter. And All Lives Matter then shifted the idea of people tackling the problems of the black community because the black community feeds into the white community. It shifted that idea to tackling the problems of the white community because the white community oversees the black community. Some ingenious person did that. Of course, they won't say it's because the white community oversees the black community, but that's what it ultimately means, because the white community barely pours into the black community, but the black community constantly drains into the white community. The brightest black people end up in the white community. Our culture ends up in the white community. our sayings, our hairstyles, our clothes end up in the white community. Some ingenious person shifted that and flipped it and made it as if black people contributed nothing. And white people contributed everything. This is very important as we move forward. Because the idea of the labor struggle, the idea of the opioid problem, all of this really has bearings on black people. And yet, we are made to believe that it doesn't. Now, as for the idea of white life mattering, what is it that makes white life matter? What is it that makes it really, really matter? Is it health and well-being? Is it wealth and welfare? Oh, I don't know. I really don't know about that. Because Lord knows we are not crafting a society that builds those things. In fact, the conservative question targeted towards black people, well, do black people really believe Black Lives Matter? Should also be turned to white people. Do white people really believe White Lives Matter? Because if white people believed White Lives Matter, then this society would function dramatically different. Everybody now talks about patriotism and exceptionalism and how great America is. But the reality is, white people are losing badly. European Americans are losing worse. And I'm not talking about the immigrants. I'm talking about people born in this country, because there's still two stratas. When they talk about rednecks and white trash, they're talking about non-white European Americans. But they won't tell you that. And most of you don't want to hear that because you believe it doesn't exist. We're all white, you think. No, you're not. You're not even close to all being white. Mitt Romney is white. Donald Trump is white. Steve Jobs started out as a European American middle class person. He was actually born white, truthfully, because his family did have some money. But he was white. Bill Gates, white. Most of these actors and actresses that you're loving on TV that got porcelain skin, they're white. They got the money to prove it. White is an upper class distinction when it comes to the European American. And yet, most European Americans don't want to admit this. They don't want to believe it. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, the whole buffoonish group of people over at Fox News. These people are all white. But they got you believing that you are just like them. Millionaires all. They could care less about you. And yet, the conservatism which they speak to you, they say, oh, well, it's, you know, America was founded as a white country. It was. You can't deny that. That's absolutely 100% true. But within 30 years of its founding, black people almost outnumbered white people here. They'll tell you that this was founded as a white country. But what they won't tell you is there is a mass distinction between those considered white, those considered privileged, and those considered non-white and non-privileged. Most European Americans, most lower class European Americans in this country hold, I mean, they grab and they cling on to the idea of being white, because if they weren't white, then what would that make them? They would be the serfs that they left Europe to escape from being. And that is a psychological blow, because let's think for a minute. If reincarnation is correct, I had this conversation 2 years ago with somebody who is part of the, quote, European New Age movement. If reincarnation is correct and spiritual memory is a true thing, cosmic memory is given unto us when we are shifted between bodies. Somewhere in the European Americans alive now is the residues of all the crimes committed by them in other lives. And psychologically, in the recesses, the deep recesses of the superconscious held by the individual person, is the knowledge that these people have raped, murdered, tortured black people, all in the name of upholding whiteness. And if suddenly, in 2017 or 2018, you have to then admit, as a European American, you have to admit in your heart, in your mind, in your gut, all throughout your entire being, that you are not and have never been white. You now have to deal with all of these things that were done in your name and sometimes even by you to those who you considered not white. If reincarnation is indeed correct, imagine the weight that that puts on each European American every time when they think that, oh my God, I may not be white anymore. That would destroy you psychologically and emotionally. That would destroy you, especially because then not only do you have to deal with what you did, but then you have to deal with the cosmic reality of what must then happen to this country because it has not dealt with, it has not healed, it has not even tried to make amends for what was done to black people as a whole. And that would scare the hell out of anybody. That would scare. So when I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when I look at the death rate spiking among European Americans in this country, what I think is, yes, the stress of dealing with situations that they haven't had to deal with in 50 to 100 years, some of them it's been 50 to 75 years, the stress of having to deal with all that is only compounded with the fact that deep within them, they know the jig is up. 2019 is around the corner. If we believe anything in the Bible, it is what the Bible says about slavery of the Israelis, which was they were held in captivity for 400 years. 400 years is up in 2019. The writing is on the wall. Hell, you wouldn't even have to go with that. It is just the tension that you feel in the air of this country that makes you say something is about to break. Something is about to break. And ultimately, this is why white lives need to start mattering in a very dramatically different way than they've mattered in years past. Because if they don't start mattering in a different way that both benefits black people and non-white people and themselves, then you're only inviting destruction into this country. And I'm not joking. I'm not talking about destruction that these evangelical preachers who only care about upholding their own wealth and status and white supremacist ideology, I'm not talking about the destruction that they're talking about. I'm talking about something far worse. Far worse. Hollywood tells you constantly that they believe it's coming. So we need to start, as a country, making not only black lives matter, but white lives matter in an entirely different way. That is rule number one. That is how you begin building a society again. It ain't them versus us, which is what white lives matter has traditionally meant. It is dealing with what is causing you to believe it is them versus us. This is not the coldest regions of Europe anymore, where nothing can grow, where you have to live like animals to survive. The Iceman's Inheritance, a great book, by the way, which really probably should be rewritten now with all this new information about Neanderthals, to really see how much of that inheritance is transferred to this society. The white man's inheritance. This isn't that anymore. White lives mattering can't mean that. It can't mean all for us, none for you anymore. It must mean we are going to build a society of compassion and empathy. It must mean that we are going to build a society which takes care of the elderly and the youth, and doesn't program them to be nothing but drones. It must mean that ultimately, when towns and communities are rebuilt, they are rebuilt for the collective and by the collective. Whatever happened to the concept of cooperatives, not for the individual, or even for the groups of individuals, but for the community. Laws need to be rewritten. Whole state constitutions need to be redrafted. People need to become democratic again. They need to believe not only that populism and democracy goes hand in hand, and are not, populism is not a conservative concept. They need to believe that populism and democracy goes hand in hand. But not only that, they need to know that populism and egalitarianism, which is a concept that has not really been written about in a philosophical and lawful manner. There's no books that I can find that tackle the concept, the higher ideals of egalitarianism. Why is that? It's the only concept that I can't find trustees on. White lives need to matter in an egalitarian sense now, and I think that's the reason why I can't find books on it, is because egalitarianism is the cosmic equivalent of heaven on earth. You take populism, you take democratism, you take socialism, you take communism, you take conservatism even, and you put it all together, and aspects of it feed into egalitarianism and humanitarianism. It feeds into that and creates a new type of atmosphere and environment which every being grows a magical soul. Not magical in the sense of make-believe. Magical in the sense of they can build what future they want, in the future that they need to not only be prosperous, not thrive, I say this constantly, not thrive, but prosperous, to not only be prosperous, but to allow others around them to be prosperous too. This is what white life must mean now. It must matter this way. And I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear this, I am not talking about concepts that come from Europe. I'm giving you the African definition of what we would like white lives to mean when they matter. This is what black people mean when they say black lives matter, and we know that all lives matter. This is the vision that we have for white people. This is what we want white lives to mean. And why is that so important? Why don't we just let white people define themselves? Because in reality, we are extracting this from you. These are the higher visions that you have for yourselves. But you are forbidden to have them because you are constantly told that these are negative visions. These are things that you would have for yourself if only you were allowed to have them for yourselves. But the people who you praise as gods at the top of your social structure don't want you to have these ideas, so they make them illegal. And you need to get this. You need to understand this. It has become criminalized in white society to have truthfully socialistic socialism magazines distributed throughout the country. It is illegal to have labor-oriented newspapers and magazines distributed around the country. Even labor unions are corporatists. They are corporatists. It has become impossible to have a true communist dialogue in this country where we can actually sit down and discuss what is communism, what are the different forms of communism, why doesn't that work, how might it work, and how could we learn from it? Because even if it's not going to work, ladies and gentlemen, understand, I'll say it again, even if it ain't going to work, we can still learn stuff from it. But you are even taught not to be objective enough to learn from the mistakes of other people. Russia didn't get it all wrong. Sure, they didn't get it all right, but they didn't get it all wrong. And that is the problem with the way that white life is mattering today. Russia didn't get it all wrong. And America, sure enough, hasn't gotten it all right. White life mattering in the past has said America has always gotten it right. And I'm here to tell you that how white life must matter from this point on is in truth. America has never gotten it right. But it hasn't always gotten it wrong either. And we can build off of that. It is illegal to say that you want a democratic-based structure for business or a socialistic structure for business. You are made to be a criminal. But you must reach beyond that criminality mindset now and start mattering and start approaching, your life in the form of white life matters. And say, we need a social-based structure that takes care of not only the individual, allows the individual to flourish, to prosper. But we need to also reach beyond that to the collective. Because what is done by the individual does impact the collective. You don't believe me? If you ever worked a job where you didn't, where you were not part of, or excuse me, you could not fit into the collective structure there, you get the boot. What the individual does impacts the collective. So you must now build a means of envisioning white life mattering in a way that enables you to see the social consequences of the individual action. That's going to take redefining culture. That's going to take redefining personal relationships. That's going to take redefining so much of the society. But it can be done if you start with the idea that white life matters. And you understand first how it mattered in the past. And you look at that and you say, we ain't going to do that again. We're going to have a new vision. Black people, we've always had this vision for white folks. And for white people, for European Americans. We've always wanted the European American life to matter. But any time when we've tried to bring that vision to you, you've turned always to those who have betrayed you. And you've said, well, as long as you're going to protect us, we'll say to hell with black people. Well, guess what? Those people who you have been looking for protection from, they've told you to go to hell. They have started building their own lifeboats, and they are ready to allow you to burn and sink with the ship which they've built for you. And they've built that ship knowing that it cannot support you, your family, your future. They've known it for years. They've known it for years. The biggest fear of these people has never been conservative ideology. I love how they put that out there now. It was never about white people being empowered. It was always about white people being radicalized to the point where they saw that the critiques of black people of this system, the demands of black people of this system, were not being made for black people. They were being made for all people. And if white people realized that, if they actually grasped that, they would abandon those who they have looked at and those who they have looked to for protection, because they would realize that there was no protection there. And this was the true fear of these people, of these white people. They understood the idea of divide and conquer had nothing to do with black people. They were already dividing black people among themselves. They were doing that. They had to keep the European immigrant from being persuaded by what they considered black radical thought. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm learning enough right now to realize this didn't start in the United States. It didn't start in the colonies that were spread across the world by the European powers. It started in Europe. This goes back to the Moors. This goes back to the 700 years that the Moors were fighting across Europe to plant enlightenment. This goes back to even the Roman Catholic Church and the Roman Empire's sacking of Egypt, of Kemet. This goes back so far that your cosmic memory has to almost be reset. Because as a white person, you have been completely misled. You have been lied to on so many levels that when you are born here, you are basically, you are fed, you are breastfed a diet of lies for the first 4 or 5 years of your life, and then they're only built higher and higher and higher. This is why white people get so uncomfortable when you start talking about these things. Because when you start talking about these things, yes, they become triggered because you are digging into their cosmic memory, into their psychological memory, and it is uncomfortable. I know, because I've went through the process of discovering my black self, and I'm going to tell you, it is uncomfortable. When you start understanding the lies and you start realizing that the reality which is projected into you and in front of you by that which you were taught is a lie, is a hoax, and has branded you for life with ignorance until you can rip all of that out. The foundational concepts of whiteness are myths and lies. And if white life is to matter, these things must be rooted out, they must be understood, and a new day must be bred and made to dawn. White life must matter, but it must not matter at the expense of everybody else. White life must be redefined, and children must be brought up to be in love with being white. There was a black psychologist who actually said this. White people must be taught to love their whiteness, but not in a negative way. The problem, she said, was not black people not loving themselves enough. It was white people not loving themselves enough. I see in many of the videos which are posted on YouTube of white people calling for the renewal of White Lives Matter, I see fear. The anger that they express is nothing but fear. And you can see it in their eyes because they talk about America being destroyed and how America used to be and why America got that way. And every time when they talk about those things, I hear nothing but lie after lie after lie. America was never great. America's history has been one filled with blood. And not just the blood of black people. White people had no problem killing other European Americans who didn't want to buy. buy into their system. Do you get that? America is a myth constructed in your mind. And that's why it's falling right now. It's because the myth doesn't synchronize with reality. When people call for the establishment of the old order, they are literally calling for the re-enslavement of themselves. They are calling for the re-enslavement of themselves. White radicals of 75 and 80 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, white radicals were seen as non-white. They were subversives. They were radicals, and they were threats to the internal security of the corporate state, not the government, the corporate state. This was a time when the federal government was small and the corporate state was large, because there is a power vacuum in any large company, or excuse me, not company, Freudian slip, of any large. And by the way, a company is also a military unit, may I say, which is interesting that I called the United States a company. But in any large country, there is a power vacuum, and it's substantial. You will either have a bureaucracy of the government, which is accountable by the people, or you will have a bureaucracy of corporations, which is not accountable to the people. I think the numbers that I saw recently was that the bureaucratic structure, state, local, and federal, is less than 10 million people of this country. That is tiny. Whereas the bureaucratic, that is the top and middle structure of corporate America, which is significantly smaller, was, I think, 4 or 5 million. Might have been slightly larger than that. Why is this important? Because for white folks, you have to understand where you literally stand. In the corporate state, you have no power. You have no say-so. In the democratic state, you do. And if this country is not going to be ruled by a governmental bureaucratic structure, it will be ruled by a corporate bureaucratic structure, which will seek to not only dominate you, but crush you. The biggest fear they have is that you recognize this. That is why they keep telling you the government is your problem. The government is beholden to ALEC. Do you know what ALEC is? The American Legislative Exchange Council, which runs legislation through multiple state houses in the federal government. It's a corporate entity. It is a fascistic entity. White life matters only as far as this entity can dictate your future to you. Get that in your head. If you want white life to matter, then you have to start making some truthfully, truthfully horrifying decisions. Are you going to take control of your life and put this country onto a path that is beneficial for all people? Or are you going to claim a history which is built upon lies and deceit? Are you going to cling to a false narrative of whiteness, which is not ultimately going to make your life matter? Because that is not what that white idea was meant to do. It was made to make your life insignificant and make the true white people, which are at the top of your social structure, matter and make money off of you. If you get out of line with that, well, you've seen what happened to Occupy Wall Street. The Tea Party isn't a threat. It is exactly what the corporate state wants. White life matter that supports the rich and encourages the rich to exploit white life is exactly what the upper elite want. Fooling yourself into believing that white life will matter when you shut out black life is fooling yourself into a destiny which is only destructive. Black life doesn't seek to subjugate white life. It does not seek to subjugate white life. What black life matters does seek to subjugate is the ruling priority of white life over theirs. We have to make our life count in our society. Black people do. We have to make it count in our community, but we believe in a collective struggle, which is beneficial not for the individual, but for the whole. White life mattering only cares for the collective so long as there is a notable enemy. White life is defined by the enemy without, when in fact, white life must now matter to the person within. They must stop defining that. White life must stop defining itself by who it is not, and must start defining itself by who it is. You cannot say white life matters as a whole against black life matters without recognizing that that white life mattering comes at the expense of black people. No, you must now intern that and say white life matters now because the society makes all life matters. So therefore, my life won't matter at the expense of black people or brown people or red people or non-white people in general. My life will matter because their life matters. So let's build a society that allows all life to matter, and not in a means and in a way that comes from Europe, because that's the other way that that gets you. It's time to recognize that all nations have something to teach white life. White life has given some very important things to this world. It's given some very non-important things to this world, very destructive things also. White life must now allow the world to teach it how to live in harmony and with pride and grace. That is my wish for all of you. This is your brother, Vymir Deese. I thank you for listening. I got to imagine some of you are going to have some comments about this. Do me a favor. Send this to all your friends. I mean that. Send this to all your friends. Let them hear this. Because this truthfully is a call of help for you, for my white people. I have to take care of my community first. I am a black man. I take care of my community first. But it doesn't stop me from wanting to take care of yours also. It does not stop me from wanting to take care of yours also. You have to now dig deep to figure out what that community is and how it relates to the rest of the world in a positive manner. In a positive matter. Again, thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, send me a message. I look forward to hearing from you. I do. Peace and love to you all. Until next time. Hey, again, I will remind you, the new Class War Battlefield podcast coming to you in the new year. In the new year, probably about February-ish. Alright? There'll be other announcements coming to website. Yep, finally going to get the website underway. And, there'll be some announcements about that too, all right? Peace to you all. Peace to your families. Peace to your homes. Much love to you and yours. This is your brother, Vymir Deese. Till the next time. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns.
to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone, and they're alive.